Sometimes problems seem so big. They hide the light of day. Sometimes pain cuts so deep. And I can't find the words to pray. Sometimes heartaches seem to be much more than I can stand. That's when grace seems to take.
FSU. So I told him I'd give him an opportunity to get me back, and my wife and kids sing that song Grace, and I needed it this morning because I knew he was going to let me have it. Good to have visitors with us this morning. We have visitors from Monticello, Mississippi, from Michigan and North Carolina, and Hawaii. So we got visitors from all over the place. God's been good to us to allow us to have visitors. We have also visitors who live here. So we're glad that you came back, that are visiting with us. Looking forward to what God's going to do for us at our anniversary service next week. Brother LeBeau will be with us. Brother Kurt LeBeau will be singing. Now listen, you got to do me a favor. You got to sit close because he is farsighted. Brother LeBeau is blind. You know, he's preaching for us, and he's the first one to make all the jokes. When he says I'm farsighted, he says I'm seeing into heaven. Brother LeBeau's brother passed away, not his twin brother, Kent, but his other brother passed away a month ago, and so his heart will probably be heavy. So church, y'all be in prayer for Brother LeBeau and help him, be prepared and ready to preach for us. He's also a singer, and he'll be singing for us. So come, bring a visitor. Bring a dish and a meal to put together. We'll celebrate 66 years of Lock Haven Baptist Church. We'll have a dinner on the ground after church, so help bring something to eat. Enjoy us, enjoy the fellowship, and enjoy Brother LeBeau, because he will be a blessing to you. Probably one of the most meek and mildest men I've ever met, far as his disposition. So be in prayer for Brother LeBeau and his family. They'll be with us next week, and I'm looking forward to that and what God's going to do with it. We had a good turnout yesterday to the folks that came out to work with the church float. We're putting together a float to put into the St. Cloud Christmas parade, and had a good turnout for that. So glad that y'all came out and supported that. Still a lot of work to do on it, so see Brother Chris. Brother Chris has some days that he comes by during the week, and some join him then, and so see what he needs and be a help with that. Don't forget the candy canes. We'll be putting the candy canes on the gospel tracts that we'll be passing out. There is a box back here, a Tupperware box back in the back, so if you bring them in, help with that. That'll be a blessing for that. After church, Brother Jimmy has a gift for all of the kids. So if all the kids will come over to this side and see Brother Jimmy, he has something he wants to give all the kids before you leave, so you can get all hyped up and go home.
You go
by and see him. Maybe he won't recognize you as a grown-up. So. But over here, Brother Jimmy will be standing over here on this side, passing out tracks, not tracks, candy. Something that Brother Jimmy wants to be a blessing with. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's get into the Word of God before I talk about all other things besides what we really need to be in, and that's the Word of God. Isn't it amazing how God works? I did not mention it all at home about what I will be preaching today, but today's message is about grace. It really is. And then God put together that song there. And so we're going to talk about grace this morning. And the portion we're going to be in, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, is about grace giving. So you know, a lot of times whenever a preacher speaks on giving, we check out. But I encourage you to go back in the last 8 years that I've been pastor here, and you will not find 8 messages on giving, if that. I don't preach a lot on giving. Number one reason being because God has blessed me with folks that really do their part of being obedient on far as giving. But this morning, it's not only about giving financially, it's about giving of ourselves and things of that nature. So we'll get into it because we're going to talk about letting God arise in our participation of grace. And I think a lot of our problems will be solved as Christians in our churches if we walk more in grace. If we walk more in grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God." So Paul starts us off here understanding with whose grace we're talking about. The grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, so there's joy in affliction, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we've hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. We're talking this morning about God's grace. We're talking about the grace of God that has appeared to all men. Now this morning, if you're sitting here with us and you've never trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, you have not experienced God's grace. Some might say that God's grace is this: it's God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's kind of what it says there in verse number 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. There was a father and a son sitting in McDonald's one day, and the father bought a large fry and a couple of soda Coca-Colas for them. And as they sit down, you know, the smell of the fries hit the father's nostril, and he reached out to take one of the fries, and the little boy slapped his daddy's hand and said, "Those are not your fries." Well, in shock, you can tell this wasn't my story. This was not pastor's child. But in shock, a man had three thoughts that quickly popped in his head. First, he said, "My child forgot I am the source of the fries." The second thought popped in his mind, and he said, "I control the fries. I can take them away." The third thought popped to his mind was this: "I don't really need his fries. I can buy my own." Now, these truths that I just spoke of in the thoughts of this man as he dealt with a situation in his son are truths that can be applied to Christian stewardship. You see, listen, many times we forget our very source. We forget that we are just stewards of God's things. We forget that God actually controls the things that come into our life. And we forget that God really don't need you and I. But by His grace and by His mercy, He allows us to be part of what He's doing. That is amazing. That is the grace that we're going to talk about today. Now, stewardship is not a matter of how generous I will be with my money, my time, my talents, my effort. It is a matter of how much of God's gifts will I allow God to use for His kingdom. That's what stewardship boils down to. You see, God doesn't really need us, but He desires to use us. Now that's amazing grace right there, dear friend. That is amazing grace. A leading psychiatrist said this in a report that he wrote, that the most generous people that he meets rarely ever has mental disorders. And I thought about, why would that be? And his conclusion was that they're so tied up and so caught up in thinking about others that their mind is exercising in a way that it doesn't normally exercise. And you know as well as I'm standing here today, the society that we live in today is self-centered. And I'm to be honest with you, depression, anxiety, and all those things that come along with that are real things. And if you want them to be overemphasized and magnified and blown up, keep looking inward. Because listen, to be honest with you, dear friend, there's times in my life that I look inward and I am a very depressed person. There's times that I look around and I see everything that's here, and that's before me and that's on my plate, and the anxiety overwhelms me. But when I keep my eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and I look to the vision of Christ, and when Jesus looked at the multitudes, He had compassion on others. I begin to take on the mind of Christ. If I take on the mind of Christ, dear friend, it's very difficult many times to have mental problems because Christ is always right. And my mind will be focused on things that are good. Now, it has been said, and I sometimes concur. There we go. I concur. I'm thinking about this cochlear implant that we got for going. It's got my tongue twisted up and tied. Brother Jimmy and I was talking about a cochlear implant before. I agree that we all sometimes walk a thin line on crazy. And it's only God's grace that keeps us sane. We live in a crazy world. I mean, just look around us. Listen, Thanksgiving's coming up here in just a little bit. I think about 20-something days, Thanksgiving's coming up. It has been a holiday that's been around, I think, since about 1717, somewhere around in there, maybe a little longer, a little older, I don't remember exactly. That may have been when they passed the law, said we'd be thankful. And, it came to the point that one president even moved it back a little bit to the third Thursday and caused a big uproar because they had to change football games and all that because they made Thanksgiving so materialistic. It's a time, dear friend, this month, we ought to take time day by day as we rise up out of bed. Find something. Matter of fact, a couple of months ago or maybe even a year, I don't even know, time has passed. There was this great ice bucket challenge and people was pouring ice all over. I challenge you the rest of this month, dear friend, in the morning hours when you wake up, write down five things that you are grateful for. And at the end of the day, find two things that God had blessed you with in just those 10, 12 hours. And I'm telling you, it will help your attitude. There is a problem when we're not grateful for some things, grateful for all things, our attitude becomes really stinky. I don't know a better word. It becomes bad. We become sour when we're not grateful and thankful. And we're looking at all the burdens that are placed upon us by life instead of grazing over the blessings that God has put before us. And bless. So that's a challenge for you if you'll do it. So when I think about generosity, dear friend, I look back to this church. What we just read about, the churches of Macedonia, it talks about. When I think about that and I look at that, I look at what's going on in life, this is an example for all of us to look at. Now, what is growing in grace? I believe that grace is an inner working of God in our life. And it's created by the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're sitting here this morning lost without Christ, dear friend, you are not going to be able to walk in grace. You need God's grace given to us by God Himself, is the grace of God bestowed upon the church of Macedonia. And the only way to experience that is to realize, first and foremost, that we're all sinners before God. That we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we accept the grace of God given to us by the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ Himself, His Son, and the Holy Spirit of God moves in and He begins to work inward. And the grace of God begins to work outward. Grace is the very inspiration of stewardship. For God so loved the world that He gave. That's why we, as God's children, have an inclination to give of our time, our talent, ourselves. And when grace is at work, dear friend, we don't have a reason not to give of ourselves. We look for reasons to give. So here's the test for us. If I'm not interested in the things of God by giving of myself, my talent, here's a good example. This past month alone, we have lost 3 men who sing in the choir. I'm looking around us, dear friend. There's a lot of men sitting here that aren't singing in the choir. Why not? Is grace working in your life? Because if you have a talent of God to sing for God, why not join the choir? I mean, Brother Jim, after all, tonight, 5 o'clock, first practice for the cantata. Why not join? Is grace working in your heart right now, or are you getting aggravated and mad because I'm meddling? Hey, Pastor, it's football time. Right? Can't come to choir practice. What do you mean, choir practice? Inner workings of the grace of God makes us look around and say, and every one of y'all saw that there was only 4 men sitting up here in choir. Did the Holy Spirit of God say, hey, you all the time singing about, you know, got your radio tuned to here, tuned to there, and you follow along singing on those songs. Why not get up there and sing to the God of heaven? Grace breaks the grip of self-centeredness away from our life. It becomes more about others. See, God gave His only begotten Son. He gave to the world. So, through His riches, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that through His, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Well, Pastor, I've been waiting for the bank to open up and just say, call me and say, hey, we found somewhere along the way that we've made some errors in your checking account, and we see that you have $6-7 million in here, and we want to know how you want to use it. See, that's what we're looking. We're looking at the materialistic things. And I'll be honest with you, I wish CFE would call me tomorrow and say, I found $6-7 million. I'm not against them finding some lost money. But I hadn't lost 6 or 7 million pennies, much less dollars. But I'd be okay with it if they called. But I'm more interested, dear friend, in seeking first the kingdom of God. The Bible says that we cannot serve two masters. So we'll cling to one or we'll hate the other. And so if I'm serving self and I'm self-centered and I'm desiring to get what I can for myself, then it's not God's grace working in me. It is what I want for myself. Now, be honest with you, dear friend. In America, you can find more books on trying to find happiness and wealth than I can shake a stick at. But here's a good piece of advice for you. If the book doesn't start off with Matthew 6, and I think 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, throw the book out. Get you a Bible, because in the Word of God you will find happiness and real wealth that is lasting. Keep us focused on Christ. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God that was bestowed on the church of Macedonia. Verse 2, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Grace makes us more like Jesus, dear friend. When we allow the workings of grace in our life, it makes us more like Jesus. Look at verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first, what did they do? Give their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. In the Bible, in John chapter number 1, verses 14 through 17, it talks about Jesus Christ being full of grace and truth. The Bible says in John, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The Bible says in John, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by me. When we are full of Jesus, dear friend, and we are walking in grace, dear friend, we are more and more conformed to the image of Christ. And Christ was all about others. And in our society today, dear friend, it is not about others. It was said, and I don't know who said this, but it was said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Amen. You know, the Bible is it's very profound, the Word of God. It really is. For instance, the word love is found 733 times in the Word of God. In the King James Bible, 733 times the word love is found in Scripture. But I'll tell you, it is amazing with me about the folks that call themselves God's children that if... No, I'm not going to go there. Let's move on. I don't want to make you mad. I want you to pay attention. Some of you are waiting for me to get out, and if I make you mad, you will not listen. And I'm good at making folks mad for some reason. I don't understand it. I'm going to say it anyway. We live in a day and age where if a preacher doesn't preach on love, he has got to find himself a new job. Do you understand something different? It was because of God's love for us that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. 733 times the word love is mentioned. Word faith is found 246 times. The word hope is found 175 times. Hey, grab a hold to you. Hey, something. Grab something. Don't fly up out of here. Don't fly up out of here. Because listen. The word give or giving is found 2,285 times in the Word of God. That's why the Bible says in the book of Acts that Jesus said it's more blessed to do what? Give. To give than to receive. We're talking about giving, not only financial means. I'm talking about of time, of the abilities that you have. I'm talking about looking out at the world and looking around those that are around us and being the church of Jesus Christ and seeing somebody and being moved with compassion and say, hey, I can do something in that person's life and get involved. Giving. If it was about money, dear friend, Jesus would not have made such a big to-do about the widow who gave the two mites in Mark chapter 12. Now I'm going to stop. I'm going to preface this a minute. Every dime, every penny, every dollar, every nickel, every 50-cent piece, every CD that you have, every investment you have, belongs to God. But it ain't about the two. It ain't about all that. Jesus said, how is it that she's given all of her life? And the disciples, she only gave two mites. Because she get first. What did the Bible say there in 2 Corinthians? Let's look again back in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, chapter 8, verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but what did they do? First gave their own selves to the Lord. Hold your place there, and I'll give you another reference real quick. Go to 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. 1 Chronicles. I told myself when I got up here to preach, it was 11:26. I said, I'm going to be done by 11:45 today. Golly. The only way we're going to do that, y'all going to have to give me a remote control. You know how some of these preachers, they walk around, they change slides? I need a remote control that'll stop the clock. Yeah, click. Man, preacher's been preaching a long time. No, look over there. It's just been 10 minutes. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 9. We will be out shortly because we got visitors from out of state and they need to go spend all their money here in Orlando so we can fix our roads. 1 Chronicles chapter number 29, verse number 9. This is what the Bible says. This is talking about really giving of ourselves. 1 Chronicles 29 and 9. Everybody there? Amen? Here we go. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because, this is the reason they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Mature givers, dear friend, have a heart of devotion and dedication to God. And whether it's money, time, talent, effort, abilities. Mature givers have a heart that's devoted and dedicated to God. Immature givers have a heart, I don't even know how to put it. Here's a good way. I'm going to do this, but what's in it for me? Well, I'm going to come over and help somebody, but I wonder when they're going to come over and help me. Well, I'm going to give when the offering plate comes down, but God, you know I need this new gun. God, that person had a flat tire, and I'm going to go help them. So, Lord, the next time I have a flat tire, please have the NASCAR pit team be ready there, because you know I'm a busy person. I'm going to do this, Lord, but what is in it for me? That's immature giving, dear friend. Lord, I'm going to be helpful, and this is, we men are good at this one. Hon, I'm going to wash your dishes tonight. Like, what did you just eat? Hon, I'm going to watch your kids tonight. Can I babysit your children? What? But, you know the game's coming up, and I need to, what is in it for me? That's immaturity, dear friend. That is immature. Here's a quote. Teamwork makes the what? Dream work. You know, the Bible talks about striving together, working together, laboring together, giving of ourselves and helping out around and being committed to the things of the house of God. Look, it says back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do to you the wit of grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." God has bestowed that. And in great trial of affliction, abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded. Their riches were liberality. In the Old Testament, look at verse 15 of this same chapter. It's right here. I'm going to read the same chapter I just read, verse 15. This is about when the manna fell from heaven in the Old Testament. As it is written, "He that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack." Dear friend, you're walking in grace, and giving by grace expresses faith. Because I'm going to tell you, Brother Jake, I don't know, do you have 36 hours in your day? I only have 24. Brother Felipe, how many hours you got? You got 12 hours a day? 24. Hey, Brother Hector, what you got, about 18? 24. 18 at work, yeah. 18 to work a day, but we all have what? Nobody has more hours and more time in their day than anybody else. So when I say, God, help me to be a blessing to somebody. Help me to give of myself. Help me to give of my talents. And I take 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour and a half to go and to do for someone else. This is expressing faith. He that has little, gathered little, had nothing left over. God understands, dear friend. God also understands that you are one person and I'm one person. And all he asks is that we do what one person can do. He does not ask that we do what 10 can do. That's why I'm amazed at churches. Why in the world? Not here. Praise God for it. Because if it was here, I'd say something from the pulpit. But praise God for it. It's amazing. In most churches, only 10% of people get involved in the ministries. Why 90%, 100% sit at the tables and eat. We all have something we can do. And we give of ourselves. Everyone in this chapter sacrificed equally. Let's look at that real quick. I'm almost done. Verse 3. For to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so would he also finish in you the same grace. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in diligence, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the poorness of others, because of what I see in others. He says to us, prove the sincerity of your love. When I get involved, you know what I'm saying, Lord? I love you. When I give, Lord, I love you. I'm proving. I'm showing forth that effort. I'm showing forth that God, I want to prove. I want to prove. And I'm telling you, my life as we close, in my life, over and over and over and over throughout the years, I have found that the best times that when I gave and I got involved, it was those times when I had the greatest need in my own life. And the grace of God moved in, took my mind off of those things, and made clarity of thought in my own heart and mind. Son, I am your father. And because you followed in the example of what I did by giving of my son, you proved your love to me. Now here's the catch. Not every time, Brother Scott, not every time God removed my problem. But every time, he walked me through and carried me through my problem, because his grace is sufficient. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The pianist is coming. God's grace. Oh, preacher, I have done so much. I am so wicked. There is no way God would save somebody like me. God's grace is sufficient. For all sin. If you're sitting here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, please come. Let us take the Bible and show you that God loves you. And God will forgive you. And God will save you. Perhaps, dear Christian, you have forgotten who is in control of the fry.